Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live, where we bring you the best in music, books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us. Now, here is your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. Whether you're tuning in through Conversations Radio Network, we, of course, welcome you. For those joining us in Mississippi at WYAD 94.1 FM, we're glad you could join us today. And those tuning in on the East Coast in Atlanta at 106 Live, we're glad you all could be with us as well. Well, as you guys probably saw online, this has been a very exciting year for us. Last month in July, I celebrated my 13th year of hosting this program that is Conversations Live. And today, I'm excited to welcome my 7,000th guest of my career. And it actually, she's making her very first appearance on our program as well, which makes it just that more exciting. Anne Royal Nicholas is here to talk to us not only about her journey as a creative, but what it's been like for her to share her love of words and also her love of creating with the world and to see the response to it as well. The book that I had a chance to read is called The Mafia. We'll talk a little bit about that, but also other work that Anne Royal has done as well. If you just know hearing about her, we'll tell you a little bit later how you can stay connected with her. Anne Royal, hello to you, and welcome to the program.
Thank you, Cyrus. I'm really grateful that you've invited me on.
Hey, the pleasure is definitely all mine. As I said, we're going to be talking about The Mafia because that's the book that I had a chance to read, but there's so many other great projects you've been able to do. We were just talking about a book that you did that was definitely different than this one, and so we'll get into that a little bit later. But Anna, let's start off by talking about this journey for you. What has it been like for you to do what you love and to be able to see the response to it?
Well, you know, it's interesting that you say that you're an inspirational author yourself and that you really try and help people through inspirational words and your shows and things like that. And for me, I started off on a completely different path. My father and my mother really didn't encourage my artistic pursuits, which have always been there. So it wasn't until I was about 22 years old and through law school that I said, you know what? I want to be creating things. I want to be communicating with the world. I have things I want to say and I want to hear back from the world. It's not just a one-sided thing. So I was an actress in New York and realizing that I thought I could write better scripts for myself and my friends than I was being auditioned for. So the very first thing I wrote was a play, and that got produced by a woman named Dorothy Lyman, who people remember from Mama's Family and All My Children. And so that was that, and then I made a film, and I had a child, and all the while I was writing and writing and writing. But when you have a kid and you want to raise the child properly and with attention without assistance, which is how I felt like I had to do it, I had to change who I was writing for instead of an audience, whether it was film or TV or a stage play. I started to try and find the audience of one, and then that got me to writing novels. And the first novel I wrote is the one you referred to. It's called Homegrown, The Terror Within, which I wrote under a pseudonym. But it had to do with a bio-cyber threat, many of which now we are starting to see. And that came about because I was so interested in the world and where we were going with technology and the biological threats at the time, which, as they say now, with Zika, you know, are there. And so I started. That was the first book I wrote, and it had a nice audience. I had quite a bit of attention for that. And then all this while as well, I was in a book club in Los Angeles, and my girlfriends and I in the book club. We are now 20 something years, and we just thought, we're going to write a book about us. And they all looked at me because I'd had a book published. So That's how The Mafia came to be. We have always called ourselves The Mafia, even though there's some other people, other groups that have now come along and used the name for sort of, I don't know, weird other uses. But we'll just leave it there. So now I just feel like I want each character in the book, which are slightly altered characters from the real life people, I want to give each each woman in the story, each woman in the mafia, her own story. So that's the unique thing. Each book is told in the first person from a different point of view of one of the members of the club. So that's kind of unusual. And that's the difficult thing for me is I'm able to adopt the voice of two or three or four quite easily, but then there are another five that I have to say, okay, this woman is very different from me. How does she speak? How does she view the world? And completely change that.
Right, right.
So that's kind of a long-winded.
Yeah. Well, look, I was trying to wait because one of the things that Madeline says when she was giving some ground rules that we don't interrupt. So I was trying to wait until you finish before I ask the next question for sure. I think the thing, though, I want to go back to that you were saying, Anne-Royal, that I think our audience will appreciate is the importance of discovering that your voice deserved to be heard in whatever form you chose for it to be. As you mentioned, you know, with acting, it's not always you're not going to be able to bring to life the words that you particularly would want to. So it's great that you're able to be able to have your own channel. Is that the freedom that you enjoy with writing novels, that you can be able to take readers wherever you want and take yourself as a creative individual wherever you want?
Yes, although I do try and do that with my plays, and it's very sensitive of you to realize that there is this need to express and to be to try and move people emotionally, spiritually, possibly politically, to think differently than they perhaps naturally would. I think a lot of artists may just want to create something pretty, and that could be whether you're a painter or you're a writer or you're a filmmaker. Some people just want to create something pretty that people will enjoy, and that is wonderful. I sometimes feel that way, and that's how I feel about the Mafia. I want the books for the Mafia to be enjoyable, to not be too taxing in any way, to just relax with that book, let the women take you on a journey, don't think too much. That kind of book definitely has its use. But then there are other times with the Homegrown book, for example, that I wanted to make my reader aware of all these different worlds that I had to do a lot of research to completely understand, those worlds being, what is a virus? What is a bacteria? What's the difference? How can you cure one or the other? Or can you? What would happen if some crazy person tried to create a mega virus that was, you know, would destroy the world? What is that cable stuff that gets laid down in the oceans that connects us over the internet? And what would happen if somebody tried to sever those lines? Where would we be? So there are those times when I really have a question of the world and question of why things are the way they are, and I try and set out to answer that for myself, and it would work. It would serve the reader, too, if they were so inclined. But, you know, you build a story in there about people and about their emotions and what they care about, and you lay in other stuff that works on a different level for those who are interested, algorithms for, you know, cyber attacks, for example. So I hope that answered the question.
Yeah. Well, it does, but I want to go back to one part of it, Anne-Royal. It's fine. We'll get there. what I really was trying to zero in on is that, do you feel as though since you are doing or able to write about what you are genuinely interested in, that for other people to enjoy it makes it just that more satisfying because it is something that you genuinely care about?
Yes, of course. I want my creative endeavors, and that's writing, to reach someone and entertain them. I think that's what you're asking. But
right.
Beyond that, I do feel that it's my job. A lot of artists, a lot of writers, a lot of filmmakers do not agree with me on this. I usually have some point of view, whether it's about child rearing, whether it's about, in the case of the Mafia, that is, there are certain things that mothers, that women care about, you know.
Right.
And so I want to entertain. I want my reader to like these women, to want to go have a cocktail with them, to imagine shopping with them when they go shopping, to imagine themselves in the predicaments that the women find themselves in. But then I also occasionally put in something that Anne Royal feels is kind of important to move us forward in some way as a society, as women, as people, caring people. You know, I try not to do any harm, you know, as the saying goes.
Got you. Yeah, I totally get that, and I think our audience will as well. I want to say for those who are just tuning in, either on the radio side or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. We're excited to welcome to our program today Anne Royal Nicholas. We're talking with her not only about her journey as a writer, but also just as an individual who loves to create. She's been able to do that in a lot of different ways. She mentioned earlier in the conversation about being a playwright and an actress. And then, of course, now she's using the power of words in a big way to be able to entertain, and as she just was sharing, to be able to share things that are important to her as well. You know, one of the things that, and I'll now focus on The Mafia for a moment, and Royal, because that's the book that I had a chance to read. One of the things that comes through in that particular book, and again, for that one, it's Madeline Scott Crane that we're kind of introduced to, that we kind of slip into the skin of her, is that there is a certain amount of fearlessness. And it's interesting that you mentioned to our audience that, you know, you yourself being a part of a book club, you know, called, you know, The Mafia. I'm curious, you know, where does that fearlessness or that courage come from for you? And did that make it easier for you as you were writing a character like Madeline to be able to slip into that skin and to bring her to life?
Did you find Madeline to be completely fearless? That's an interesting thing for me to know.
Well, here's the thing. I felt as though, in just like the situation that I mentioned where she was telling individuals about not interrupting, that, you know, that there were instances where she was able to find, and I think it was because, well, this is my take on it, and it was because of her, of the sisterhood, she found strength, and she was able to be, just like when she was giving the matter-of-fact rundown, and I don't want to ruin it for those who haven't read it, to the ladies about what had happened, there was a certain amount of, I don't think a lot of times she realized, you know, the courage and the strength that she had, until it was kind of presented to her, things came out of her mouth, and then she kind of thought about, okay, by the reaction, okay, maybe that's a little bit more than I thought. So that's the way it came across for me. Did you not see her that way?
I didn't set out to create a character that was fearless. No. In fact, I thought parts of her were rather fearful. She hadn't had a relationship in a while, and she kind of jumps into this one because she meets the person at a party given by a dear friend. So she has a certain trust factor, but, you know, she's not completely fearless with respect to relationships. She's been hurt. So I would say that, you know, and she's kind of tentative in that mediation that she conducts. I don't know if you remember that section. So, no, I don't see her as completely fearless. I see her as being selectively fearless. She is definitely supported by her sisterhood, the book club, The Mafia, and feels and gains confidence by their support, even though some of them are kind of quirky, obviously. And, you know, on the spectrum of all the women in the club, the nine of them, she's probably the third most fearless, but she's not completely fearless.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose that she's the closest to me. So she's the first one that I wrote. And as I say, I'm a mediator. I've practiced mediation. She's a mediator. She's a single mom. I'm a single mom. So I used a lot of myself in her. And so, you know, anything that you see in Madeline, I think, is probably drawn from me, most likely. Whereas Quinn, the second narrator, she's a talent agent and she's single, though she meets someone during the course of the story she tells, more mafia. And she's fearless in a different way, but still fearful in yet a different way. I think all of us, we are a compendium of fears and things we're courageous about. And it's finding, you know, that balance within each of us and recognizing with someone else, you know, some of our friends, some of our associates, acquaintances, family members, you go back for Thanksgiving dinner, and there's always your crazy Uncle Bob. And Uncle Bob is blustery, but you realize that hides, it masks some insecurity. So you kind of just, you go along with it, right? People that are dear to you and near to you, you learn their particular foibles and you manage them because you love them, because they're your friends and family and things like that. So as far as the fearlessness, I'd say, yes, she's fearless in some regards, but not in others, just like you, just like me.
Got you. Well, okay, so when it comes then to now doing what you do and being able to, I mean, to do it in a way where you're able to go out and you're able to meet your readers and you're able to have conversations like this, what do you think has helped you in being able to build that fearlessness or that confidence for yourself?
My confidence as a writer working on books, you mean?
Right.
The support of my peers, the support of readers is just wonderful. The suggestions from readers that I occasionally get. I publish blog on cocktails. So if somebody sends me a cocktail recipe and a picture, I try and work it into some scenario. And so I feel very grateful that a reader will take the time to send me their cocktail recipe. Because the Mafia likes to enjoy a good cocktail. We have cocktails at our Mafia gatherings in addition to wine, and sometimes things get quite rowdy. So I enjoy that. I just enjoy reaching people. You know, my very first play that I wrote had to do with a story involving an animal. And on a couple of occasions, this is the wonderful immediacy of theater. A couple of people came up to me after one of the shows and would say, in tears, I have that relationship with my cat or my goldfish or my dog or whatever. And they'd be so upset, but I realized that what they had experienced in the play had moved them. And that is addictive, being able to move someone so that they may turn to somebody and recognize something about that person that they hadn't taken the time to realize before. So that's very gratifying.
Do you find one of the things that keeps you going is the idea of what's to come?
You mean just in the world or with respect
to the world, right? Right.
I'm very optimistic. I'm with Joe Biden. I'm very optimistic about what people can be and the good that they all can do. I really believe that all of us can be more than we are, and we have to work at that. So I try and do that. I try and make my characters positive and looking forward, and that they help me. My characters help me always get up in the day and have something to look forward to. It's been a long time since I woke up and didn't want to jump out of bed, get to my computer, have an idea that I thought of over the course of the night. I plant seeds in my head when I go to bed at night. Okay, what am I going to have Sarah do today? I'm working now on the third book, and the narrator is Sarah, who is a mother of a 7-year-old kid who's being bullied. And so when I'm stuck, I plant that little seed, and I go to bed thinking about how I'm going to get Sarah and her son out of this situation, and how the Mafia is going to come and help. You know, how she's going to get the support of the women, because they do all support each other, some more or less, because we find our allegiances within a group, right? If you have a work environment, there are going to be people you gravitate toward more than others. That's how it is with the Mafia. So Sarah's friends and allegiances are going to be different than Quinn's, and yet all the women will be present, and all the women will be included. But, yeah, I really always look forward to a better day, a better tomorrow, and trying to make things better.
Right. And that's something all of us can definitely try to do for ourselves as well. Great conversation with you. Again, everyone, Ann Royal Nicholas has been our guest for this segment. We've been speaking with her not only about her journey as a storyteller, but also what it's been like for her just as a creative, an individual who loves to be able to share with others, and how she's been able to not only see the response, but also do work that she loves along the way. The book that I primarily talked about was a book that I read by Ann Royal. It's called The Mafia. You all can get it through our friends at Amazon.com. In fact, the Kindle version is available for only $3. See, one clickers out there can get it for yourself, or you can order the paperback edition as well. So make sure you guys head over there and get that book, as well as more Mafia that you heard Ann Royal talk about as well, and even the first book that she wrote as well. It's available through our friends at Amazon.com as well. How can our audience stay connected with you and then keep up what's coming up next for you?
Well, Cyrus, I'm just so grateful that you had me on. If anyone's interested, I do have a website. It's Anna Nicholas. I go by Anna. My name is given was Ann Royal, but everyone called me Anna. So my website is annanicholas.com, and I post things there. I post my cocktails on a website called themafia.us, and people can sign up for my newsletter, which comes out quarterly, and post comments about cocktails, or, you know, even share their own cocktails if they want. And I just welcome anything. I tweet at A Royal N, and I'm on Facebook, and, you know, join the conversation about women, about books, about book clubs, about cocktails, about child rearing, or any other thing that pertains to women in this day and age. All welcome.
So definitely invite you all to stay connected with Ann Royal again online as well. Again, Ann Royal, thank you so much for the time. Really appreciate it, and looking forward to the next conversation with you.
Oh, Cyrus, it's been a real treat. I'm so thankful. Thanks a lot. Take care.
Yeah, pleasure is definitely all mine. You did the same thing. And we thank you, our audience, for tuning in to another great segment of Conversations Live. If you all came in late, you missed part of the conversation with Ann Royal, don't worry. Thanks to our online friends, you all can catch the replay right after we go off the air. The link is already available through our social media sites. So head over to Facebook.com/CyrusWebb or go over to Twitter.com/CyrusWebb. You can click on the link there, listen to the show completely for free, and share it with your friends from there. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live. You all make it a great one.